Our guest today is the CEO of Graphically, Miha Baldwin. Miha, let's get started. Please tell us a little bit about your background and the businesses that you have experiences with.
Sure. So I've been sort of in the startup scene, I would like to say, since I was 9 years old when I started my first company, but really got started in 2000 with a company called Cosmo.com that I worked at in San Diego, and then have continued to do startups ever since. So I've been very deeply involved in the startup scene, with Graphically being, I think, the sixth startup that I've been doing stuff with. So I'm advising probably about another 10 or 12 startups. So lots of startup work is what I've always been focused on.
That's awesome. Yeah, Graphically is a great company. I've really been impressed with the way that your platform has evolved. So.
Oh, thank you very much.
So let's jump right into the topic. As you know, this podcast series is addressing the idea of how venture capital affects the entrepreneur's creative process. So just how much money have you raised through venture capital funding across all of these businesses that you've been a part of?
So I think across all the startups that I've been involved with, we've raised a total of maybe $350 million.
Wow.
Some of that, I mean, obviously, a lot of that I didn't raise directly myself, you know, early on, but certainly I've been involved with most of it.
Wow, that's amazing. Here's a question. Do you think that the system as it is set up now is optimal for the entrepreneur? Do you think that venture capital is a big positive for startup companies?
So, you know, that's an interesting question. I think for many companies, it's great. And I think for some companies, it's not. Most people have to understand that venture capital money is an investment vehicle, much like investing in the stock market or real estate or anything else. It's individuals that are managing a pile of cash from a bunch of high net worth individuals or institutions that are looking to generate returns and potentially very high returns. With that in mind, the decision making process isn't necessarily about you know, what's the best startup. It's really about what's the startup that can return the highest ROI. And that doesn't mean that the venture capitalists are mean or, you know, aren't really open to big ideas that maybe don't become big companies. It's just that going into it, the entrepreneur needs to understand the job of the venture capitalist. And the job of the venture capitalist isn't to help every startup make a bunch of money. It's really to invest in companies that they believe can return at a high rate. So for some companies, it's highly valuable and helpful, and for other companies, there's really no need for venture capital money at all.
Interesting. What do you look for when you're looking for a venture capital company to fund one of your businesses? What do you look for in the company in terms of, say, people or institutional size or any other factor?
So there's sort of two ways to look at raising money. When you're looking at the VC level, and I assume the question isn't necessarily around the angel level, angels obviously have a whole different style of investment, and most of those are individuals looking for, you know, high rates of return, or just really wanting to get involved in particular companies. But at the venture level, you want somebody that's willing to be with you through thick and thin, right? That they have enough money to be able to invest in a company over time, because it takes time for a company to really figure out what they want to be, usually about 3 years. And so if they don't have enough money to invest over a period of time, then it's difficult. The other thing that you really look at in a venture firm is somebody that has done a bunch of really interesting investments with other venture firms, so that it's easy for them to help you raise money and build what they call a syndicate, right? So you want to be able to have not just one investor, but, you know, five or six that can be, you know, highly impactful in your company as it grows. And then finally, you want somebody that just understands the space that you're in and the stage that you are in as a founder, so they can be very helpful to you grow as a CEO and become, you know, the best that you can be. So if you're a first-time CEO, you would really like to raise money from somebody that's worked with a lot of first-time CEOs, maybe have some operational experience. If you've done it a ton of times, you need somebody that helps you and, you know, conceptually within, you know, corporate development or, you know, I don't know, a million other things that aren't as necessary for somebody that's been a CEO once or twice. It's a lot more than just, wow, Kleiner Perkins is a really cool firm and everybody knows who they are, so I want money from them. You know, you need to understand that firms have partnership and that the partner that ends up investing in your company is the one that you're getting married to, and you need to be very comfortable with that partner versus the firm overall.
Or like a combination of funds investing?
Yeah, I mean, you'll notice if you read, you know, TechCrunch or VentureBeat or any of these, you know, sites, when they announce a funding event, that more often than not, somebody lists, you know, 5 to 10 people that have invested in them, usually 2 to 3 venture firms that have come in and are working the round. There's usually one with lead, so there's one main investor that will put up the majority of the money. So let's say you're raising, $1 million, usually there's one person that will come in and put in, say, $700,000 or $600,000, and then the rest of the people will put in, you know, the remaining $300K or $400K, meaning that you have one person that really is leading the event, and then there's a bunch of people that come in and co-invest along with that lead investor. And the lead investor is truly the one that sort of drives the investment and the growth of the business on the investment side. They'll sit on the board, you know, they'll do all that kind of fun stuff.
And then when you're approaching one of these companies to try to get an investment, what are your personal tactics for standing out from the crowd and making sure that they want to invest in you rather than your competitor?
There's, in early stage, sort of in the seed round, there really is three specific reasons why an investor will invest or not invest. And that's the team, the solution, and the market. And most investors are looking for an extremely large market, an amazing team that's working on an interesting product. So if you're a really solid, solid team and you're working in a really, really small market, you may get investment. If you're a really, really good team and you're working in a really, really big market, but your solution is kind of not that great, you'll probably still get investment. The bottom line is that investors, again, are investing the money, so they're really looking for ways to ensure that they're getting a high rate of return, and that usually is because you have a team that's going to get there inside of a big market. So being able to describe what you're doing in a really smart way and, you know, putting together a really smart team, working on a really smart product is really the way to do it.
So in your experience, what you usually do is come in, the company has already been founded by someone, and you go in and help them get the funding and grow the business?
In some cases, yes. In other cases, you know, I'm the founder, right? I come in and I come up with the idea, build the team, build the idea, and do it all myself. Not all myself, but I'm like the primary person. In other cases, yeah, I'll come in after the company's already been founded and help that company grow or adjust and change over time.
Okay, so you have experience with all different aspects of it.
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay, so when you initially approach a firm or firms for funding, what are your best practices for the initial pitch? Like you were saying, to state it in a very clear way, what specifically should an entrepreneur do to do that?
So if you're at a point where you're actually doing a pitch meeting, like you're actually in the room with a partner or two and you're explaining what you're doing, at that point you should have a deck of some sort and a solid demo to show. Your demo should be good and really highlight what it is that you're building and the future that you're going to. Your deck should be pretty simple. You know, 5 or 6 slides is probably more than enough. And those slides are usually pretty straightforward. I mean, the formula is, what's the problem? How are you solving it? You know, why are you the best person to solve it? How is everybody going to make money? And how much money do you need? And that's usually your first pitch, right? So you go and you show it off, show the product, show, you know, your thought process. And then as they get excited, they'll ask you to come back, maybe, you know, multiple times and meet with various partners or do what they call a partner meeting, where you meet with the entire partnership to pitch the idea. And then at that point, decisions are made and funding usually occurs, you really want to be able to really lean on the fact that you have a real product with a little bit of traction, like people actually care. The best thing is to be able to have a product that you can show people are paying for, either in time or in money. And if you can do that, you can show that a lot of people are paying for it, then it becomes really, really interesting.
Okay. And then how, once you've made the initial pitch, once you have gotten their interest, what do you do to kind of close the deal and make sure that, the terms of the agreement are best for your company?
So all investment is done in the sense of momentum. So investors like to invest because a lot of people are really interested in the deal. And they feel that they should be part of something big. So the important thing is to gain momentum and to create a world where it's a short time frame. So you don't want to raise money and say, oh, we're raising over the next 6 months and we maybe kind of have, a couple people interested. We're going to close in 2 weeks and we've got a list of people that are, this is everybody who's interested and away we go. And the key really is at the end of the day to get a lead investor that I talked about earlier, somebody that's willing to champion your cause. And then present you with a term sheet. Depending on your business, that term sheet could be all over the place in terms of valuation and financial vehicles in which you look to raise the money. But if you work with a reputable firm, you don't really have to worry about having terms that aren't favorable. I mean, most of them, if they've worked with early stage companies, sort of put together a really entrepreneurial friendly financial vehicle term sheet that make it easy for you to be successful.
Okay, let's move on to the effect of the venture capital on the entrepreneur. So in your experience, how do you think the funding or the prospect of funding affects your willingness to try out a new or different idea?
So I always say that financial help, some money from a VC, is really like kerosene to a fire. I mean, it just accelerates everything. So you're able to hire faster, you're able to build quicker, it just allows for acceleration. So getting money gives you the opportunity to test things more quickly, change things more rapidly, and move much faster. So what does venture capital do in terms of allowing you to test and try new ideas? It allows you to do it at a much faster clip than you would otherwise. I think that the negative of it is that because you're not focused on revenue early, you sort of allow yourself to believe that revenue isn't important, and you end up building ideas and products that don't necessarily lead to a clear revenue stream. So even though you're getting a bunch of usage, you may not be getting a bunch of revenue.
Ah. So what you're saying is that what's the best way to get funding is to already have your business established, to have revenue, and then to be able to show that if they invest, then that revenue will be able to grow.
Yeah, I mean, think of it like a fire, right? Your job as an entrepreneur is to build a small fire and show that there's real potential for it to be a gigantic fire. And then, venture money really is just kerosene on that fire.
Awesome. Here's a different question. Do you think that you would do things differently if your companies were funded through debt rather than equity? If you had the opportunity to either get, say, $10 million from the bank or from a venture capitalist?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the nice thing about getting money from a bank is you can pay it back. There are venture banks that do investments, or basically what they call venture debt, which is sort of a glorified credit line that is bonded sort of by the company, so they get equity and warrants based upon, how the company does. So banks, there are venture banks out there like Square One and Silicon Valley Bank that will do investments alongside of larger organizations, larger VCs. Those tend to be very specific cases depending upon the company. I don't think it matters at the end of the day. I mean, money's money. At the end of the day, it's how you pay it back, I think. Getting a loan from family and friends or from a bank, an SBA loan or something like that, would be better because you end up owning more equity in the long term. And really doing a startup, the game is all about owning equity. It's not really about your salary or things like that. It's owning as much of the company as possible. So, I don't think it would necessarily change how it ran the company, but I think it would be better off in the long term.
When you have a investor that has a large equity stake in the company, what do you do to make sure that your investor relations are the best they can be?
Communicate, right? At the end of the day, it's all about communication. So frequent communication, don't lie, tell them both the positives and the negatives, and communicate. I mean, that's why a board meeting exists, right? The monthly board meeting is to give you an opportunity to communicate to your investors. But really, you should be doing what they call investor updates, an email once a month or once a quarter that keeps everybody up to speed on what's going on, and really helps drive interest and excitement around the business. It's something that I don't do very well. It's sort of most CEOs forget how important the investor update is and ends up not doing it as often as they should. But it is the best thing that a CEO could do for their investors is just to keep them up to date.
When you're making the decision on whether to go for a second round of funding, what factors go into making that decision?
There's really only two. A, you're running out of money and you need more. Or B, you're doing really well and getting more money will help you accelerate even faster.
So you make pretty much the same pitch that you made in the beginning, but you say, now look where how far we've come. Look how big, look how big our fire has grown. And if we get more money, we can do even better.
Agreed. Yep, exactly.
Okay. You recently wrote on your blog, learntoduck.com, that you believe a startup does not need sales. What it needs is friends. Why do you think this is?
The early stage startup, as it grows, doesn't really understand what it's going to be, right? I mean, unless you're super clear, there's a few companies in the world that really haven't changed from what they are early on and grew big. So Dropbox, for example, has been the same product from the beginning. And so I think that for most companies, you're in a constant state of shifting and changing, and like most early entrepreneurs, you make a lot of mistakes. And so if you are in a case where what you're trying to do is just sell a product, you're in a case where what happens if you decide to no longer support that product, or you shift or change, or in some way kind of screw over the person that you sold it to. If you don't have a relationship with them that's more friendly, like, hey, I want you to be part of what we're doing and how we're growing and understand the shifts and changes, then you lose out on being able to have them continue to work with you over time. I mean, the greatest thing about friendship is that you let your friends fail and you forgive them. The truth about sales is that there is no forgiveness if you're not doing your job. There's just canceling a contract.
So what you're saying is, like, if you are on friendly terms with a venture capital company or one of your suppliers, for example, you expect the long-term relationship to be much better than if they're just selling you a product.
Yep, exactly.
Okay, we are almost finished. How does venture capital investment and the startup scene affect the economy as a whole, do you think?
It's fast acceleration, right? I mean, it's job creation. So I think startups probably affect the economy in a more positive way than anything else. I mean, in many ways, I'm not being patriotic about it, but having an entrepreneurial feel for the overall economy is the reason why America is what America is today. Right? America has sort of, U.S. has two things. They have resources, natural resources, and they have people, and the people really are entrepreneurial, everywhere from, the farmers and the beginning, the Quakers and the original, even the slave owners, right? I mean, all these people were entrepreneurial. That's really what drove the company forward. So I think that having an entrepreneurial spirit in the U.S. Ingrained in how we live has what's driven this economy as well as it has over the course of the last couple hundred years. So I think, without entrepreneurship, your economy has a really hard time of being successful over time, especially with the fluctuations and changes in the world marketplace.
Wise words indeed. What is the last advice that you would like to give before we sign off?
Last piece of advice to give entrepreneurs?
Indeed.
The last piece of advice I would give is just do it, right? Thinking only gets you so far, doing gets you further.
Amazing. Thank you so much. I've learned so much from you.
No, you're more than welcome. This was fun. Bye.
Bye.